What we've experienced is that people actually wait to feel ready before starting something important. Like they're waiting for that feeling of being ready, and it actually keeps them stuck.
I think too often we hold back from making changes because we think it's going to take too long, it's too big, I'm not ready, all of those reasons. But actually we can make big changes just by...
If you want to be a part of the one percenters, those that make it and are super successful, I think what we would share is that.
Welcome back to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I've got Joel joining me today. Hey, Joel.
Hey.
Now, we're challenging ourselves today. We're going to do just a 15-minute episode. That's our challenge, eh, Joel?
We are. We certainly are.
Well, we hope we are. So we know it's Christmas. And we know that you're busy, but we want to hang out with you and we want to give you some small but really powerful things to think about that are going to make a big impact for you right now, like given the time of year that it is. So today we're going to cover off three core truths for you to think about that we believe will put you in good stead, not only for 2026, but as a successful and profitable business owner. And we're really aware that in 2026, like this is the year of the great divide, and we'll start to see the gap that's been emerging over the last 5 years. This really is the separation year. Like this is the year that we see the impact. So we're on a mission, Joel and I and all the crew here at SOC, to help those that want to be part of the top 10% of the industry. And we're calling it the 1% because we kind of believe in order for you to reach the top 10%, you need to behave like you're in the top 1%. It's a bit like reach for the stars and you'll land on the moon. And
well,
we thought this would be a good episode, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And with that in mind, Riss, and only 14 minutes to go, we want to share these three truths with you. And we believe they will absolutely make you stand out from everyone else in 2026. So do you want to kick us off for us?
Yeah, because we better get onto it.
Let's go.
The first one really is that small things really are big things. People want different results while doing the same behavior. And that potentially can become destructive behavior because they keep repeating potentially self-sabotaging things that ultimately are holding them back. And actually, to make a change to that, actually sometimes only really small changes that will get a big impact and a big change. And I think too often we hold back from making changes because we think it's going to take too long, it's too big, I'm not ready, all of those reasons. But actually we can make big changes just by small steps, actually, with big impact.
Yeah, the logic is kind of like, in order to make a significant difference in my life, I have to do something quite large. Like, that logically makes sense. But we've experienced this, not only seen it, but even, I guess, ourselves as individuals and business owners, that small things do make a huge, huge impact.
Well, one of the examples is I have a group of friends that we like to go walking. We want to do exercise. We want to be able to do events together. And so quite a few times it's starting to become throughout the year, we go and do marathons, half marathons, walking over, doesn't actually matter, but we just want to go and do some kind of exercise event together. They're organized events. Now, I'm not very fit. I don't spend a lot of time in the gym. And so I could very easily not do them. I'm definitely the one in the group that's like, I'm only really doing it because otherwise I got FOMO because you guys are my besties and I don't want to miss out, rather than I want to run a marathon because I actually don't. But what I do as soon as the girls talk about it and put it on the map, I'm the very first one to book the ticket because the booking of the ticket is the very small thing that I can do to commit. And then in my mind, I let go of, can I run a marathon? Probably not. Could I walk half a marathon? Would I do 10? Like, it actually doesn't matter what I do. I'm participating. And that 4.5 minutes it takes me to book the ticket means I'm in.
Yes.
And I have walked a half marathon, and I was really pleased with myself. I did way better than I expected. And then another time I actually didn't do the training, and so I just decided on the day I'll just walk 10. That was plenty for where I was at. Didn't matter. I participated. I achieved a goal. But it all started with booking a ticket.
And such a small thing, which is what I love. I also, in my life, I don't do this now as much, but for a time period there, actually 7 years, after the 7 years, I was like, okay, cool, I've done it. I actually committed to every single day at the end of my normal shower, it being a cold shower, for at least a minute, often five. And I did that because I wanted to see if I could install a habit. You know, there was all this research about installing habits. But what really came out of that for me is that I, you know, quite proud of myself, actually became far more resilient doing something super controllable, really, really easy not to do. Sort of like almost, it's like a hard thing to do, but it's easy because you can control it. And one of the things that I really walked away from there realizing is that if I did that every single day for 7 years, then what else can I do that's actually going to make quite a big impact in my life? And at 23 years of age, I certainly didn't do many hard things. But now at 40 years of age, almost everything I do is hard because I know I can do hard things by making a very small, simple choice.
Yeah. Doing the weekly shopping for me is a big chore. It takes a lot of brain space. I have to think about it. I have to be in the kitchen. I have to get it done on Sunday. And it feels like a big thing, but it's really important because if I don't do it, nobody eats. And one little tiny thing that I did is I pay $4.97 or something or rather extra a month, and I buy my delivery for the month. It just automatically comes out of my account. And then I've got limitless delivery.
Ah, come on.
And so this tiny little $4 just takes away all the pain. And so I just smash out the shopping on Sunday. And if I've run out of salad by Wednesday because it's not fresh anymore or whatever, or I forgot the toilet paper, doesn't matter. Jump on and do another shopping. And the perception of having to pay another $15 for delivery is completely removed. And now I have this big thing to worry about. Small things equal easy life.
Yeah. There's so much in that, Riz. First of all, I want to implement this immediately with my shopping. But a small choice that has such a large impact, and it makes life as a salon CEO that much easier. There's so much more streamlined, so much more efficient upstairs, which I think is important when we start to talk about 2026 and being part of the 1%, is you need the headspace to be able to do the things that you're not going to be able to predict, but the things that you can control, like making these small choices, can have a real massive impact. So I guess from our perspective, we'd recommend, like, whatever it is, like, just do it. Just, like, repeat it for a week or a month or whatever that choice or decision is, that small thing. And what me and Riz have found to be true, but also working with hundreds of salon owners, is that you can actually wake up, you know, weeks, months, and years down the track, a completely different person, because of a habit that right now doesn't seem that significant. You know, like just signing up to a marathon, all of a sudden now Riz has got all these things under her belt, as well as friendships and, oh, this just epic kind of space and place that you go to with those friends. You never guess that just by saying yes to the thing, you've been able to create that. And so we encourage you to do that as well, because it's not just what you say yes to, it's the compound effect of what you're at the same time saying no to. 1+1 does equal so much more than 2. It often equals something like 17. And in the financial world, we say, oh yeah, compound interest, it makes sense, it's logical. And so let's assume that the same is true when it comes to our personal habits and the choices that we make.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though, if you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do, well, don't worry, I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call, we'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode.
I like to say the 1% eventually equals 100%. So if you want to 100% transform your life, like just do all the 1% things because they do compound and they eventually make a massive difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, truth number two, I reckon we're like just a little bit off track, Riss, so we're going to go super fast track on this one. Truth number two for 2026 is start before, keyword, before you're ready. Now, I know straight away it's like, come on, Joel, like as a business owner, due diligence, I need to like make sure that I've got everything covered and I don't want to make a bad decision. And what we've experienced is that people actually wait to feel ready before starting something important. Like they're waiting for that feeling of being ready and it actually keeps them stuck. And while they're being stuck and getting ready, they start to develop all these habits around being here and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then that's where they get stuck. They're looking for the clarity to prevent failure. Like we don't want to get things wrong. And that clarity doesn't become because clarity is actually rooted in action.
Yeah. I'm a big believer of just take action and work it out as you go. Because you could talk yourself out of anything. And I don't know if I was just born that way. Like I opened my salon before I knew even that I was going to be a business owner. Like that was not the long-term goal. I just decided to do it one day and got started. And luckily, because I really believe if I knew what I was getting myself in for and I'd planned it all out super detailed, I never would have done it. I'd never put myself in that situation. But I started and I did it and it's taken me on a life's journey. I've launched products before they're ready. We started with My Salon CEO. It was a pretty bad V1. Like they say, just go with your embarrassing first version. Like if it's not embarrassing, it's a bit like social media, just start. If it's not embarrassing the first time, then you've waited too long. And I really believe that just start. Like that's how you get better. The second time you do something is when you're more likely to feel ready because you've already practiced it once. So at some point, you've got to do the bit, even if you call it practice, to just start.
You got to start. And I think just this is my own anecdotal observation is that often we don't because we have a really poor relationship with failure. We see failure as the end. We see it as, oh, shit, I just got exposed, embarrassed, I feel shame. When actually, as many of us know, as business owners, as entrepreneurs, as leaders that are figuring a lot of things out, it's actually the beginning. We talk a lot about shitty first draft, like get it out there. Let's like figure out what it is. Let's test it. Let's get some feedback and some information because 9 times out of 10, the first time we do something, it's just like the beginning of then iterating and making something so much better.
You just don't know what you don't know until you get what you just said, that feedback. So you try something and you get feedback and then you go, oh, that's not what I was expecting or I didn't want that or I actually meant something else. And you don't know that until you just give it a go. And so I remember there was for a long time in the early days of my business, I really believed that I needed to complete everything, complete a whole system, have everything worked out before I'd present it to a team or to a client. And that probably was just lack of confidence until I worked out that actually it was on purpose to not have everything worked out. Like start at the beginning when you haven't worked out the system, just start because you'll work out the system as you go. And it's a much better approach.
That's actually where a lot of our, and when I say our, I'm not just talking about yourself and myself, Riss, but all of our listeners, where our true resourcefulness and skills lie is actually being able to figure things out. And when the answer is unknown, bring skill, confidence, certainty to other people and figure stuff out. Like we're good at that. We can figure stuff out. So use those skills.
Yeah, and go in with intent to do that. I like to call it JFDI, just freaking do it. Just beep do it. Just do it and work it out on your way down.
Yeah.
So I think, like, write down all the things that you know so far, break it down into the very first step that you think would be the right first thing to do, and then just do that one step first, and then you can have a little look. Just jump off the cliff and work with that on your way down.
jump off the cliff with a parachute on your back and work out how to pull it on the way down.
Yes, please don't quote Larissa said jump off the cliff.
Yeah, we're not saying that you shouldn't do your due diligence with big decisions, but we're also saying stop faffing around and thinking that you need a shot perfect before you take action. Like, action precedes clarity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we're searching for it. We want the clarity. We need to know: should I go in? Should I do this? Should I do that? And we're trying to figure it all out. And we're burning resource, man. We are burning so much energy that we could be using to iterate, take the feedback, and make something better. So, in between those two things, like due diligence and faffing around, is this sweet spot that we say just do the thing, just do it.
Jump with a parachute.
Yeah.
All right. So we definitely shouldn't believe everything that we think. This is key core belief number three. Don't believe everything that you think. Like, we shouldn't believe our own thoughts.
And right? I think we do. I think we do. I think we do believe a lot of what we think, because sometimes we think and it's like, well, that was good and that created this. And so these other thoughts that are going on, they're it's kind of part of the truth almost. We start to believe our own thinking. And I'll tell you why that's a problem. So in 2005, which I know was 20 years ago, but there was some research done. And what we found out from the Science Foundation is that we have 70,000 thoughts a day, give or take. Like Riss might have 80, I might have 60. But if we average it out, it's about 70,000 thoughts a day. If you slept for 8 hours, that's like one every second. So it's busy up there, right? Surely they're not all true. Surely. But here's what we know. 80% of those thoughts, like 63,500 thoughts a day, are negative. And they're negative because we're wired for survival, not for growth and development. We know that. You know that. We all know that. And so our DNA or our evolution is rooted in negativity, which means that if we're thinking negative all the time, we're going to be feeling more negative, which means we're going to start to behave in ways that are not necessarily negative, but they're kind of like, we want to be really, really careful all the time. And I say, welcome to the world of scarcity thinking. Welcome to the world of a scarce life where fear is normal and self-sabotage on the menu every day. We're like purpose built for confusion down there at that level. So I think believing everything that you think is not a good strategy, because we actually don't even know often where our thoughts are coming from. Like, this is one of the great philosophical debates, is like, where do your thoughts come from? I don't know about you, Riss, but it's like, I don't for sure know where they come from. And so it almost seems a little bit bizarre to think that they are true, like all of them. Like, you know, I don't know, but sometimes I can have some random thoughts, you know? And so part of the problem here is that we've got old programming, and I had it too. And I've had to work through a lot of bad thinking or unuseful thinking. So when I was 5, I went up on stage in front of the school and I said something backwards. I got it wrong and I was laughed off stage. And so now Joel then has this thought, I'm not capable. I can't do it. I can't speak well. I'm not a great public speaker. And it would be really normal and logical for me to think for the rest of my life that I have no right to be in that kind of arena. So how is it that I've ended up speaking to at the front of the room or on stage nearly 300,000 people? It's because I didn't believe that shitty old thought that was kind of saying something like, you're not good enough to speak in front of people. And so I think the lesson there for all of us is really, you're going to have thoughts that are like, yeah, I totally believe that to be true and it's helpful and it's useful. And there's going to be other thoughts that we need to be light enough to go, actually, it's not true. It's not serving me well and it's not helpful at all. And I think that's the encouragement for me, is to really just play the role of observer a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's my perspective, is we are not our thoughts. Like, we are separate to that, just like we are not our leg or our arm, we are not our brain. And I always like I'm going to step outside of my brain and I'm going to just look back at my brain from the outside rather than being inside my brain and looking through my brain.
Yeah.
And then there's a filter, all right? And so I want to be a little bit more objective about the filter and look at it and go, well, Could it be something else? Could I insert something else? And just tell my brain what I want to believe. I have to practice it a little bit, like I practice my ABCs. But, you know, we can have a little bit of more control over.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's a really good thing to consider and think about. Like, it's no secret that the global population is more anxious than it's ever been before. Spiraling with your thinking is common ground. Like, people do this all the time. And I think as we grow and become as salon CEOs, one of the things that we certainly want to achieve is not just freedom and profit, is a real sense of peace and the ability to enjoy family and fitness and fun and all of these things. And if your mind is wired into overthinking or believing everything that you think, that could have its own version of unsuccessfulness by your own definition. And so with that, I would say something that my mother always used to remind me of is, like, you need to think positively, Joel. And I know that's kind of like super old school, but here's the flip side. If you don't think, for example, today's going to be a great day. I actually got this from my daughter this morning, a post-it note. Today is going to be great, from Sophia. She's 10 years of age. If I don't consciously think today's going to be a great day, then what I'm really saying is that I'm waiting for unconscious thought that just happens to kind of dictate the rest of my day. And so I guess we have a choice to wait for great thinking to arrive and hope, or we can actually start to create that thinking and to, I mean, this is what we talk about, leading like a CEO, Larissa, is actually starting to lead some really optimistic, accurate, and helpful and useful thinking that's going to help you to move through some of the hard choices and decisions that are naturally in front of all of us.
Well, Joel, I think we failed miserably at the 15 minutes.
Oh.
So I think, you know, we should call that a wrap. Do you want to just summarize the last?
I think.
What did we just talk about?
In 2026, you talked about a great divide. It's happening. The 1%ers are over here. The rest are over there. If you want to be a part of the 1%ers, those that make it and are super successful, I think what we would share is that those people recognize the small things do make a massive difference. They do start before they're actually truly fully ready, and they don't believe everything that they think. So our encouragement, our invitation, get out there and just do it.
Yeah, because I do believe 2026 is going to reward the salon owners who choose to lead and really choose to step up and become and behave like the 1%, which is what inspired the session today. Not the ones that sit in the treatment room and, you know, hope things are magically going to get better. Like, we've moved on from that. And so these three truths are the things that will help you really step into that role. So if you want some support building your business, building your salon, building your high-performing team, mapping out a 12-month client plan, building the Lean and Lux model, maybe building your first 7K stylist or therapist, installing new CEO systems, this is exactly what we do inside of Salon Mastery. And so if you're listening thinking, yes, this is my year to step up, become one of the top 10% or the 1%ers and build a business that actually works, then, like, now's the time to think about it. And if you're already doing 10K a week or more, and you've got a team and you know that they can do more, be better, and you want to install the systems, you need to upgrade leadership, then this is our invitation. All you need to do is click the link in the show notes of this episode. To be honest, there's a link everywhere. It's on the socials, on the dub. Like, you can't really miss it. And if you're really stuck, just send me a DM. And my invitation is to have a conversation with me about whether or not we're the right people to help where you're going and where you want to go. We only work with 5 salon owners at a time, so don't wait to apply. And let's make 2026 the year that you build the salon that you were meant to lead, not the one that you've been stuck inside. All right, Joel, I think that's a wrap. We failed miserably, but we do lots of other things great, so that's okay.
Thanks so much, Wes. Take care.
Until next week. Ciao for now.